Let's go to the book of Isaiah tonight. Isaiah chapter number 58 is where I want to take my text from this evening. I've come to the realization it's time for another monthly calendar. And so I will bring that to you in our next church service. Isaiah chapter number 58, I want to begin reading at verse number 8. Amen. It's good to have Joseph and Nathan in service with us again tonight. If you're in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse number 8, say amen. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shalt thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, and thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of the paths to dwell in. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God of heaven, Lord, we thank you, God, for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for your power to perform your word. God, we thank you for the testimonies that have been spoken here tonight. Lord, and a revelation from these testimonies of the desire to do your will and to do your work. God of heaven, I pray, Lord, your anointing would rest upon us tonight as we share from your word. And we share this message, O God, with your people. Lord, to the glory of your name and the strengthening of our souls, and your will being done on earth as it is in heaven, O God. Praise be to your mighty name, Father. Thank you for the privilege we have in prayer. Amen and amen. Praise God. You can be seated again this evening. Amen. All right. I just got to say this. I'm not going to put mystery preacher on the calendar anymore. Sister Pepper said, why do you put mystery preacher on there when you're going to preach? I said, okay, I'll just put my name there, and then if somebody else shows up, I'll let them preach. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Shelton, you'll be preaching next Sunday night. I'll just give you a heads up, and that way you can be prepared. Of course, I know you're always prepared. Amen. You preach on Sunday afternoon. You teach every Tuesday night. You've probably got a whole host of messages to preach to us. Amen. What I want to preach on here tonight is simply renovation. Amen. Just renovation. The Lord just began to pour this into my heart and speak to my heart about it, and just the reality of what God wants to do, and the history that we have of God in His Word of what He wanted to do even in days gone by. He's just always looking for a people or someone who will rise up. And this is kind of really a springboard off of what we preached this morning on living the good life. He's looking for men and women who want to live the good life. And when they become those men and women, then He will begin to use them to be the restorers, to be the repairers of the breach, to be those that are involved in renovation. Hallelujah. Renovation of their own lives, thus leading to the renovation of other lives. Hallelujah. Now, you may have thought that this message was going to deal with the renovation we have to do in the church building. But that's not what it's about. Hallelujah. This message is about the renovation I have to do on the inside of me. About the renovation God wants to do on the inside of you. Hallelujah. And I've got something I want to share from Oswald Chambers, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the reality of how God goes about renovation in our lives, because there's not one thing that he does not want to change in my life. There's not one thing he does not want to change in your life. And what I mean by that statement is he wants to bring everything into the fullness of the light of his word, that we walk therein, that we do those things that are pleasing in his sight, and not just go about living our lives and wanting God to bless it. Hello. Renovation. God has always been about renovation. God has always been about restoration. God has always been about restoring life to that which has died. You see, Adam sinned and brought sin into this world, and death ruled and reigned until Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ came that you might have life. And you might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. We've preached that just recently, that outflow of life. To renovate means to restore, to renew, to recondition, to repair, to overhaul, to refurbish, refit, redecorate, remodel, reform, rehabilitate, revamp, improve. That's the only one that didn't have a re, almost. Hallelujah. You understand re, that prefix in the front of that means it's going to take it and redo it. See, the re's there. Hallelujah. It's just the reality of renovation. And to renew, which is part of the definition of renovate, it means to transform to new life. It means to revive, to begin again, to repeat, to make again, to invigorate. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. I've heard different ones make statements tonight in testimony service. I'm excited. Well, that's a synonym of invigorate. Hallelujah. That's the Spirit of God. That's the Word of God. That's the working of God stirring within to motivate to service, to work, to renovation. Hallelujah. To repeat, to make again, to invigorate, to substitute new for, to restore. Amen. There are so many words that describe what God wants to do in my life and yours. Hallelujah. You see, this is some of the vastness of the greatness of our God. Hallelujah. Of what he wants to do in my life. Amen. Glory. It's really an awesome thing to start pondering how much God wants to do just in me, just in you. Who am I? Who am I that he would want to take that time? I mean, I've been saved going on 34 years. And in 34 years, that period of time, there has been renovation going on in my life. Hallelujah. And that the God that created the universe, the stars, the vastness thereof, the depth thereof, hallelujah, yet he wants to take time that he created for the renovating of my life, for the sole purpose of the glorifying of his name, and thus bringing the best into my life. Hallelujah. You see, God is a God of love. He's a God of joy. He's the God of peace, but he's a God of renovation. Hallelujah. He's a God of restoration. He likes to renew, refurbish. He likes to take those things that have caused problems in our lives and rework them. I don't know whether you caught it this morning or not, but I made mention of those temperaments that we have as human beings, and how all those temperaments are only good things when they come under the control of the Spirit of God. You see, because sometimes in the temperaments that we have studied, that there's a temperament of those that have a quick fuse, easily moving to anger. Amen. But did you know that when the Spirit of God gets a hold of that, that means they're easily moved to stand for God's word. Ooh, hallelujah. See, he takes what when is in our control is devastation and renovates it. Woo, hallelujah. Renovates it to bring it to where it will become something that is to our benefit, to where we can stand no matter the pressure. Hallelujah. I mean, it just the way that God works and the way that God moves and how he moves on an individual basis, even though we're a corporate body, a unified body, he still moves on an individual basis in the renovation of our lives to bring to the whole the benefits of what he is working in each individual life. Wow. Hallelujah. That you and I can become the repairers of the breach and the restorer of the past to dwell in. If there's anything America needs, it needs somebody to stand in the gap. America has forsaken God as a whole. Not everybody, because you haven't, and I haven't. But on a whole, as a nation, leaders don't want God in their decision making. They don't want God in their school systems. They don't want God to do anything with the way they judge men. They have declared that. They have put it in writing, and they have done it, and they have done it well. But it has brought the chaos that we have in America. And there's nothing God would love to do more than renovate America. Hallelujah. There's nothing God would love to do more than renovate Chelsea, America. Hallelujah. But he's going to have men and women who are willing to be renovated. Hallelujah. Changed. Hallelujah. Refit for what God wants done. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be to our God. We've got to realize that God's got a plan and God's got a way. And the way that we get into that plan and we walk in that way is through his word and renewing our mind. There's that re again. I should have just titled it re. Hallelujah. Oh, wow. Because it's God's wanting to work and he is working. I am excited myself. I am invigorated at the testimonies and the desire of the men and the women of this congregation to follow the vision God has to see this community changed and to see souls saved and lives renovated. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, the simplicity and the understanding, the whole purpose of Jesus Christ and the finished work of Calvary was renovation. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We're talking renovation. We're talking about the work of God. Hallelujah. We're talking about God writing his laws in our hearts. Hallelujah. And we walking therein. It's renovation. It's the renewing of the mind. It's a transformation of the life. It's a turning from the sinful lifestyle right into the righteous lifestyle of Jesus Christ. And it all is the process of sanctification, which is no more then renovation. Amen. Process of sanctification. What is that? I thought we were just sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how our name gets written in the Lamb's Book of Life. By the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of our sins. That is that instantaneous sanctification of the blood of the Lamb upon our lives. And that is what opens up the door to our lives for the renovation of God through his Holy Word and his Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That renovation that God wants to bring, taking the old things and bringing in the new. Out with the old. and in with the new. Hallelujah. You see, that's the renovation that God desires to do in men and women. This is the process and this is the work that many are being cheated out of. In the churches across this land, the church no longer preaches the full gospel. They just preach a convenient gospel. One that's convenient for them. One that doesn't upset any apple carts. One that doesn't offend anyone. Jesus Christ said, I didn't come to bring peace, but I come to set brother against brother. Family against family. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Hallelujah. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. It wasn't a popular decision that Joshua and Caleb made when the 10 spies brought an evil report and they brought a good report. That was about 1/5. 2/10. No, it's 2/12. 1/6. I'll get my math right. I've been out of school for a while. Woo! That was not a real good odd, was it? That means the majority was not on board. The majority said, we can't do it, we can't make it, we'll be destroyed, we'll die, there's just no way. The majority was negative, full of doubt, fear, and unbelief. But there was two. Amen. Stood up and said, oh no, we are more than able. Hallelujah. But, sad to say, God allowed the majority to rule that day. It didn't bring anything pretty. Didn't bring anything of joy. Didn't bring anything of peace. It brought 40 years in the wilderness, and everyone that was on that ship and everyone that was on that side died in the wilderness. The only ones that came through were Joshua and Caleb. Tell me, where do you want to stand? Hallelujah. If God be for me, who can be against me? Praise God. If God be for us, who can be against us? Sometimes we've got to put it to the individual state and put me in that place. And then we'll join together and it will become us. Hallelujah. Praise God. So new things, all things are become new. Now, some believe that we're just changed when we get saved and everything's automatically new. Is there anyone in here that has found out that is not true? What's changed is my position. What's changed is my opportunity. And what's changed is now there is a new creature created inside of me. And I can choose to follow God now. Yeah, I can choose to walk with God now. I can allow God to renovate my life. I can allow Him to come in and start making changes anywhere and everywhere He wants to start making changes. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You get some of these ladies turned loose about renovation. Woo! All you have to do is nothing because they will just begin. Oh yeah, we can renovate here and we can renovate there. Here a renovate, there a renovate, everywhere a renovation. Hallelujah. Woo, yeah, now I'm telling my life story. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo, praise God. Renovation, I mean, when it comes to buildings, I understand about that. I can take you to my house and I can walk you through it and show you the steps of renovation over the last 6 to 10 years. And we're coming up on completion on a lot of them. Woo, we're still under construction. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's the same in our spiritual life, in our spiritual realm. If that is something that I want to maintain and I want to keep in the forefront of my mind, that I am still under construction. Hallelujah. I've been saved for that 34 years, but I am still under construction. God is still working and moving and renovating things in my life. Hallelujah. And there are There are some things, and excuse my English here, it's not proper, but there are times I have to unlearn things. Amen. To unlearn something. Do you understand what I'm saying when I say that? That means I used to have mind frame and the thought going this direction. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost and God's Word and God's light begins to come and begin to renovate. And I realize, oh, no, no, no. That goes that way. Woo! You know, there, a lot of times, you know, we think we're really smart. We think we've really found a treasure that no one else has ever seen before. God's Word. Only to find out two scriptures down, oh, we had it all wrong. Oh, God's Word's like that. I mean, because as you're reading, especially in the Old Testament, you'll be reading along there and you're thinking, oh, wow, oh, yeah. There's a lot of things going on in that Old Testament. I'm glad I live right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Because, you know, there's a lot of times God just said, okay, then you're gone. Judgment has come. And it's over right now. There's some things that I don't fully understand in the Old Testament, but yet at the same time I do. But it's a little bit foreign because I know more about grace. And I know more about long suffering. And I know more about forgiveness. Amen. Than I do about that judgment of those that were disobedient to the command of God. Oh, wow. See, renovation. See, there's been a lot of renovation. Jesus Christ came that there might be renovation. He's all about restoration. Hallelujah. He's all about bringing life back again. That's why we understand, like when the scripture talks about a righteous man will fall seven times, but he will always get up, and he will always go again. What is that? Renovation. Hallelujah. Sometimes we're hard-headed. Sometimes we're stubborn. Sometimes we're slow learners, if you will, not to demean or try to criticize anyone, but sometimes I'm a slow learner. Man, did it again. How many's got any smashed fingers, right? Haven't you learned not to put your fingers in places like that yet? Woo! Praise God. Whoa. Ah, sometimes we're slow learners. How many times have you been spanking for the same thing? Sorry. I just saw your eyes were open and I thought I'd take opportunity. Praise God. Oh, got you, buddy. Woo, glory to God. Oh, my. Now, how many times have you been spanked for the same thing? How about you, Jonathan? How many times you been spanked for the same thing, got in trouble for the same thing? Maybe you never get spankings. You're so good. Woo, and look at this guy over here. Yeah. Huh? How about you, Michael? You ever had a spanking? No? Yeah, okay. I figured you had. Amen. She just ain't. We ain't even going to go there. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Now I can move up to my kids. How many times did you ever get a spanking for the same thing? I mean, you may even have memories of me shaking my head. Why in the world did you do that again? Oh, don't you know what it's going to bring you? Yeah. Woo! Sometimes we learn slow. Amen. But God's long-suffering in his renovation. If we're a slow learner or hard-headed, then he's going to work with us accordingly. That's why we've got to learn to be tender-hearted and quick to say yes. Because then he will work with us very graciously. If you're stubborn, he will be too. That's just what the Bible says. However we... He will also. If we will, he will. If we won't, he won't either. Hallelujah. We've got to learn that God will reward those that diligently seek him. What is that? Desire for renovation. Desire for the newness of life. Desire to be invigorated. Desire to be on fire. These are terminologies we use as we're preaching and as we're teaching, to be on fire for God. But, you know, to the unlearned and those that don't know the Bible, they're going to look at you and say, oh, why in the world would you light yourself on fire? They don't understand that terminology a lot of times, so we do have to expound from time to time. That means we become very excited, invigorated, and moved with the Spirit of God and the Word of God to where we do something that God is asking us to do in renovation. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember what we preached this morning, to the fact that Jesus Christ, and I know I'm repeating it, but some of them were in children's church. For their sake, I'm going to repeat it. And those that were in youth camp, they heard this on the last night, how that Jesus Christ of Nazareth was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good. You realize he needed the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the power of God to do good. Woo! Hallelujah! And so renovation has everything about doing good. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And the goodness of God is the best of God. We learned that this morning. Amen. And that the power of God comes to those who are willing to be renovated. To be renovated. Are you ready to be renovated? Then you're ready to be filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. But until you're ready to be renovated, you're not really ready to be filled. Jesus told his disciples, go tarry ye at Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Now, as you're reading the scriptures, you find that Jesus was seen alive of more than 500 at one time. There was 500 that saw him alive. So there is a very high possibility that 500 heard that command. Does anybody remember how many were there on the day of Pentecost? Was it 500? It was 120 on the day of Pentecost that tarried until they were being endued with power from on high. Where was everybody else? Where was the other 380 people? Wow. That's a lot of folks, isn't it? Where was the other 380? They were standing somewhere, probably amongst that crowd of 3,000 that got saved that day. Woo, hallelujah, because they couldn't hold out. I mean, you know, I'm not knocking them. I don't know, maybe they... Maybe they had perfectly good reasons why not to be there. I better not start there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They weren't there, so they were not filled that day when the Spirit came. They were not waiting till they were endued with power from on high. Somewhere along those 10 days, because that's all it was 10 days. They were discouraged, disappointed, and didn't believe. Amen. But I'm pretty confident after that the power of God fell on the day of Pentecost, they probably were among those 3,000. And they received the infilling of the Holy Ghost also. Praise God. See, at that point in time, at the birth of the church, it was just an automatic thing. When you believed in Jesus Christ, your next thing was to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, in our day, in our hour, we've moved it to just water baptism. Yeah, we're going to have one of those here pretty soon. Amen. But that's kind of what it is now, is everybody, all right, get saved, get them baptized in water. Well, I mean, in the book of Acts, is get them saved and get them full of the Holy Ghost. Hello, praise God. That's the way it needs to be. That's the way we need to pursue, because that is the pattern. Amen. And I want to be a restorer of the path to dwell in. Hello. That is the pattern we have for the church, is the book of Acts. Amen. I mean, that's when Saul fell off that horse on the road to Damascus. Amen. It was told him that he was going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it never gives us the account that he did, but because it was told him he would be, he was. Woo, praise God. Because it was the pattern of the early church. You get saved, regenerated, born again by the Spirit of God, and now you've created a vessel that can be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Well, you didn't create it. God did. That you can be filled. What is that? Renovation. See, the power of the blood is the beginning of renovation. Hallelujah. Praise God. Creating that new creature that wasn't there. Renovation. Newness of life. Amen. And from that point forward, complete renovation. The changing and the transforming of my life into the life of Jesus Christ. In Romans 6 and 4, it says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Amen. Praise our God. We've got to continually train and teach our children and our young people that the power of the Holy Ghost is there for me every day and every moment of that day. It's not just for me in a church service when I finally move forward into the presence of God and begin to weep before the Lord and to feel the power of God. There's no greater feeling in the whole wide world than to feel the power of God. But you got to understand that that power is for you every day of your life. Hallelujah. To live the good life. Praise God. And the children weren't in here this morning either, so I just keep bouncing back to that. Hallelujah. To walk in newness of life. Does everybody in here know how to walk? I'm sure we know how to walk. Does anybody know how to run? I've watched some of them run. Praise God. We'll not go there. Glory. Hallelujah. It just in my mind, and you'll just have to forgive me, I'm getting old and my mind just wanders sometimes. I can remember that I started out running a certain way. But I found out the way that I was running was not moving me as fast as I could really actually go. Did you know you can actually be trained how to run? To get the fullness out of your stride and the muscles that you have. I don't know, it was just a strange thing to me because for whatever reason, I started running on my toes. And it was strange. I mean, because I wouldn't take strides when I ran. I don't know how to explain how I did it, but I ran on my toes and I was pretty fast. But then I began to watch some other kids. And I begin to watch how they run. And I begin to follow that pattern. And even though I was fast taking small steps, the moment I begin to take long steps with that same strength and that power, I was twice as fast as what I was before. Now I've watched Jonathan run. He can run fast. Because he has learned really how to run properly. Because Jonathan's just geared that way. His mind works that way. If he's going to do something, then he wants to figure out how to do it the best way. That's how Jonathan's mind works. That's great. It's wonderful. And so when he runs, you can see his stride, the way he pushes. I mean, he's serious about running, and that's why he's fast. Now, Timmy. Praise our God. Timmy runs fast also. He does. I mean, he can take a stride. Amen. Sometimes when Timmy's running, everything starts getting a little bit out of control. And before you know it, tell me what happens. He falls down. Praise God. Woo. Oh, poor Isaac. Isaac, I'm being ornery to you kids tonight. Hey, man, can you run, Isaac? Do you know how to run? Okay, I just wonder. Oh, poor guy. Amen. We all can run. Everybody can run. But there's always room for improvement. There's always room for renovation. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've always found any time I've learned how to do something, then as I learn more knowledge and see other people do it, I can learn how to do it even better. And I change a few things. How many's ever heard the terminology hindsight's 20/20? You know, after you've done the project, you look at it, and you go, why did I do that? If I just would have done this and this different, it would have changed it completely. Hindsight's 20/20. Yeah. You say, that's all right. God wants us to learn from our mistakes. He wants to renovate us. He has to show us sometimes that we made a mistake. And then we have to unlearn. Back to unlearning something. Yeah. I mean, that's just a terminology to get us to realize sometimes things have to be removed and put back in the proper way, in the proper light. I've made this statement before because this is just the way that God spoke to me when I got saved, coming from a religious background, but not a power background of the newness of life. And God just began to reveal to me and show to me, I've got to take everything that I thought I knew about God and pull it and wad it all up and throw it in the trash. And then allow God to put it all back in the right way. To unlearn. You see, it wasn't that I was taught a lot of wrong things, but I wasn't taught the power thereof. And though, so when you said born again, when I was raised, that meant a ritual or a ceremony that you went through. And so I had to take that, throw it in the trash, and take God's word and put in the new definition of born again. And that's when the power of God comes, creates a new creature inside of you. Hallelujah. Washes your past sins away and gives you newness of life. And you go forth in the power of your God and a relationship with Him. See, that's what I mean. I had to unlearn, though it said the right words, the definitions were wrong. And so God had to renovate. That's why it took me so long to actually get born again. Is because in my mind, I thought I already was. But God had to begin to renovate my mind and bring me to the place that I knew. This is a hard place to get someone that's been religious. And the Cisneros probably know some about this too. To get someone that's involved in Christianity, but they really haven't done it according to God's way, is very difficult. Because not very many people want renovation when they think they've already got it right. But the Spirit of God will begin to move and begin to draw. And begin to share, to bring men and women to a place where they're ready for renovation. I look back on my life now, and preaching this here tonight, I realize that's what God did for me. God could show me that I wasn't born again, because in my mind, I thought I was. But what God began to do is bring me to a place where I wanted renovation. I wanted what He wanted. It's amazing to me how God began to work in my mind and in my life past my thinking and begin to tug on my heart and upon my soul to bring me to a reality that I needed more from God. But I couldn't tell you what I needed, because I wouldn't accept someone telling me I wasn't saved. I wouldn't accept that at all. In my mind, I thought I was. Whoa. So God began to just sidestep that altogether and began to show me there's more. Because I began to watch and I began to see and I began to experience those that begin to worship God. Those that begin to move with the Spirit of God. And that hunger began to rise in my soul that, okay, why? Why do they have this? Why is this going on? And questions begin to go through my mind, and that pulling on my heart that brought me to that place where more or less I was saying, God, whatever it is, do it in me. That's all he needed. He needed the open door to take me to a place that I didn't want to go. Oh, that's God. That's God. Hallelujah. So he just sidestepped my stubbornness and took me to a place to where I began to desire more of God. And that's what it was going to require, a willingness for renovation, a willingness for God to have his way in my life. And when I opened that door, my God stepped right in. Hallelujah. And then he showed me my need. I couldn't see it. I was blinded by my religiosity. I was blinded by my pride. I was blinded by my self-righteousness. But the moment I asked God to do in me whatever he wanted to do, that's all he was looking for. And then he brought to me what I'd been looking for all my life. Hallelujah. I couldn't even see it, but he knew I needed it. And then he began to work to bring it to pass. Hallelujah. And then I had to begin to unlearn. And I want to read this to you, and I'm going to close tonight. First part of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, behold, he is coming with clouds. And the title of this is, do you see Jesus in your clouds? How many realize we sing the song about unclouded day? Well, the reason for the writing of that is because in the Bible, clouds are already always associated with God. Clouds are sorrows, sufferings, or providential circumstances within or without our personal lives, which actually seem to contradict the sovereignty of God. Yet it is through these very clouds that the Spirit of God is teaching us how to walk by faith. If there were never any clouds in our lives, we would have no faith. The clouds are the dust of his feet. And that's a reference to Nahum chapter 1 and verse number 3. They are a sign that God is there. And remember now, clouds sometimes are sorrow, sufferings, circumstances of life. But it's a sign that God is there. What a revelation it is to know that sorrow, bereavement, and suffering are actually the clouds that come along with God. God cannot come near us without clouds. He does not come in clear, shining brightness. It is not true to say that God wants to teach us something in our trials. And of course, that's the terminology we always use, that God's going to teach us something through this. And in a sense, but through every cloud he brings our way, he wants us to, and here's where I got that terminology, to unlearn something. His purpose in using the cloud is to simplify our beliefs until our relationship with him is exactly like that of a child. You ever pondered about, you know, becoming like a child, faith like a child? Really, it's just becoming humble. Because sometimes when we become adults, I mean, because Paul, you know, when he was writing, he said, you know, when I was a child, I thought like a child. When I'm a man, I think like a man. And sad to say, sometimes when we're a man and think like a man, we get prideful. And boy, that's getting nowhere with God. So we're seeing the cloud help simplify our beliefs. And it takes a little bit to wrap your minds around this, but the simplicity of Jesus Christ is a statement in God's word. And Jesus is not complicated. We complicate him. But in reality, he's not complicated at all. You just have to have childlike faith. Let him take control. Amen. A relationship simply between God and our own souls, and where other people are but shadows. I want you to hang on with me here just a little bit and with what he's saying here, because this has become, I have seen this happen, and this has become a detriment to believers when the believers always depend on other people instead of depending on God. Sometimes this is a hard transition. This is a hard renovation. Back to the temperament, some people are more leaning towards always having someone there. Camaraderie. Always got to be in the crowd. And other people, they can have the crowd or they can be by themselves. Doesn't make any difference. We're going on for God. But a lot of people, if there's not a crowd, they're out. They're out. Well, what he's trying to bring across is we've got to get to the place where our relationship with God has nothing to do with whether anybody's there or not. But we know God is, and we are. Hallelujah. So that's what he's after, about the clouds that God brings. And until other people become shadows to us, clouds and darkness will be ours every once in a while. Is our relationship with God becoming more simple than it ever has been? There is a connection between the strange providential circumstances allowed by God and what we know of him. And we have to learn to interpret the mysteries of life in the light of our knowledge of God. Until we can come face to face with the deepest, darkest fact of life without damaging our view of God's character, we do not yet know him. This is deep. This is talking about the reality is no matter what. It's talking about Job and the character of Job and the trial of Job. It's talking about your life and my life. It's talking about renovation regardless of what other people are doing or saying. Renovation. You see, when it comes to serving God, and we've already established that, it's not the majority rules. It's God's word rules, regardless of the majority. Hallelujah. It was stated this morning in Sunday school about the reality of the pioneering of this church. If I would have depended upon all those that I took counsel with and then chose how many said yes and how many said no to whether or not I was going to pioneer this church, I'm sorry, you wouldn't be sitting here tonight. Because the majority was, why Chelsea? Go somewhere else. What are you pioneering a church for? We got enough churches already. Yeah, well, I've asked my question that 100 times. Why am I doing this? Well, it's because God told me that's what he wanted me to do. So if I would have listened to the majority, well, we wouldn't be here. This church wouldn't be here. The school wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have purchased that new building at all, because that was just not the thing to do according to the majority. But I'm not one that listens to majority. I listen, but then I still go with the counsel of my God. And I go, amen, because I've been with him in those clouds. I've been with him through those dark times. I've been, or he's been with me, I'll put it that way. He's been with me through those dark times. And he's always brought me through and showed himself strong. And it's always through the clouds or the dark times that renovation is stirred. We've talked about it and we preach about it, just how that when the trials come, it seems to press us closer to God. Because we begin to pray more, we begin to open up ourselves more, we begin to listen more, sometimes when things are tough. Well, that's what this is talking about. You see, the disciples, in Luke chapter 9, verse 34, it says, they were fearful as they entered the cloud. Of course, this is a reference, I do believe, to the transfiguration of Jesus as that cloud came down on that mountain. They were fearful to enter into that cloud. But who was in that cloud? It was God, Jesus. And that's where the title, Do You See Jesus in Your Clouds? When all things aren't going well, do you see Jesus in your clouds? Is he there? Is he pressing us towards renovation? See, a lot of times, just because things are slow doesn't mean God's not in it. I mean, it's evident for the building circumstance. It just took a lot longer than I thought it would take. But it was clouds. Maybe to unlearn some things and allow new things to be seen. You realize sometimes you can't see new things until you're ready to drop some of the old things. I preached a message here a while back on letting go to lay a hold. Man, sometimes you just got to let go of things, and then it all comes clear. Just be willing to drop it all. Say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Hitting that place of renovation, allowing God to renovate so that he can direct my paths. Amen. Oh, I could go on and on here tonight, and I'm not. I'm going to close. Could I have a piano player tonight? God is all about renovation. He is all about refurbish, recondition, innovate, mend, repair, overhaul, remodel, reform, transform, recreate, reconstitute, reestablish, regenerate, revive, resuscitate. Praise God. Breath. Amen. Resuscitate, refresh, rejuvenate. Praise God. Reinvigorate. To boost, to brush up, to revitalize, to restore, to replenish, to restock. And I said all that tonight to help bring us to the knowledge that whatever you need in your renovating process, he's got it. And he's ready to do it. Hallelujah. If you will, he will. Renovation. God's all about it. And he's doing it. He's doing it. I'm seeing it in my life. I'm hearing it in your testimonies. That's what he's doing. He's renovating us. Hallelujah. For what he's got in store for this town, for this city, for our lives. Let's stand together.